The NTSB starts its work in Denver. Patty Wagstaff apologizes but says the show will go on. And DOT wants to work with airlines to ease congestion at LaGuardia. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 23rd, 2008. The National Transportation Safety Board yesterday announced it has recovered the charred but functionally intact cockpit voice and data recorders from the Continental Airlines 737 that ran off a runway at Denver International Airport Saturday. Investigators interviewed passengers during the day Monday. Chief Investigator Robert Sumwalt said tasks remaining include interviewing the pilot, who remained hospitalized, and listening to the voice recording. Some members of the investigative team were reportedly delayed in arriving due to weather-related airline delays. Photos from the scene show the entire right side of the plane's fuselage charred, with some exterior panels seemingly melted away from the inner framework. The airliner's left engine detached from its pylon and appears to have been dragged underneath the wing before coming to rest roughly parallel to the plane's nose. Some passengers told reporters Continental had announced the flight would be delayed by engine problems, then reversed the decision and announced the plane would push back from the gate on time. Sumwalt declined to confirm those reports on Monday. Airshow performer Patty Wagstaff has issued a statement in regard to her July 31st problems at AirVenture 2008 and the resulting sentencing on Friday in Wisconsin. She says in part, quote, "To the extent that my actions brought undue or unwanted attention to EAA or the local community, I am truly regretful. I have accepted personal responsibility for my actions by pleading no contest to the remaining reduced charges. And despite statements or actions that some others have either attributed to me that evening or insinuated occurred, this outcome puts those rumors to rest as well. Looking ahead, I am focused on getting back to work for my fans and supporters as soon as possible. This episode has only served to increase my commitment to advancing aviation through excellence in flying, dedication to safety, and renewal of service to the flying community," unquote. Todd Simmons, VP of Marketing for Wagstaff sponsor Cirrus Design, issued a statement of support, which says in part, quote, "Our support of Patty has been unwavering, and the outcome of this particular incident only serves to strengthen our commitment," unquote. The Bush administration's Transportation Department is heading into its last 30 days on the job under a court-ordered stay on any attempt to introduce slot auctions at busy New York airports. So, in an effort to accomplish whatever is still possible to fight congestion, Transportation Secretary Mary Peters has announced she'll try to work with the airlines on a voluntary reduction of operations at LaGuardia. The goal is to cut from 75 operations per hour to 71, a change DOT estimates would reduce delays by up to 41%, saving up to $178 million in delay-related costs every year. Peters notes, quote, "Too many flyers know that LaGuardia's delays are the worst in the world, and we want to use every tool at our disposal to help passengers stuck with this grueling congestion," unquote. She added that in 2007 and through 2008 so far, LaGuardia ranks dead last among the 32 major U.S. airports in on-time arrival, with just 61% of its flights arriving within 15 minutes of schedule. Departures didn't score much better. The airlines and the public will have 10 days to comment on the proposal, which calls for the new lowered cap to take effect in April 2009 and last through October. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill is calling for a truce between airlines and pilot unions to preserve ASAP, the Aviation Safety Action Program, and reminding both sides that passenger safety is in everyone's best interest. The voluntary program is supposed to offer pilots immunity from both FAA action and employer sanctions when they come forward to report safety issues. It requires cooperation from the FAA, the companies, and the pilots' unions. Pilots at four major airlines have dropped out of the program, claiming their companies have punished pilots who should have been covered by the program's immunity. To date, four major airlines, Delta, Comair, American, and U.S. Airways, have dropped out of ASAP over the dispute. Sturgill observes, quote, "Using safety as a chip at the bargaining table is unconscionable. It's in everyone's best interest to separate safety from labor issues. When pilot unions and airlines choose to hide safety information, they put passengers in jeopardy," unquote. Earlier this year, the FAA and the National Air Traffic Controllers Association initiated a similar program for controllers called Air Traffic Safety Action Program, or ATSAP. Another similar program for maintenance workers is planned. Up next on ANN, stigma notwithstanding, corporate jets are still flying. NASA is in limbo till January 20th. And Boeing and Northrop sharpen their swords and pencils for the resumption of KCX bidding. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The Associated Press has found that several large Wall Street companies are still using business jets for corporate travel, even after the CEOs of the big three automakers were castigated for doing so in traveling to appear before Congress last month. In an article and commentary that ran over the weekend, Stevenson Jacobs found companies which are beneficiaries of the U.S. government bailout, technically called the Troubled Assets Relief Program, or TARP, TARP, have scaled back their corporate aircraft fleets, but most are still flying the planes when they need to. AIG spokesman Nicholas Ashew told the AP, quote, "Our aircraft are being used very sparingly right now. I'm not saying there's no use, but there's very minimal use," unquote. Citigroup spokeswoman Shannon Bell said just a limited number of executives still use the company's fleet of four jets and a helicopter, but, quote, "executives are encouraged to fly commercial whenever possible to reduce expenses," unquote. The PR blow taken by business aviation after the car company CEOs left Washington with their tails between their legs drew an immediate response from the biz jet industry, which scrambled to remind us that corporate aircraft are productivity tools, not extravagant perks as they're often portrayed. More than one observer noted the hypocrisy involved in criticizing execs for using private planes when members of Congress do the same thing, especially when campaigning. In the case of the auto CEOs, all three wasted 2 days driving from Detroit to Washington for their second hearing. Gulfstream Communications Director Robert Bonnier observed, quote, "If time has any value to you, then you'll understand why people use business jets," unquote. Widely rumored development problems with NASA's Next Generation Manned Space Program, early campaign promises by President-elect Obama to trim spending on space exploration, and reports of headbutting between the transition team and Administrator Michael Griffin are causing uncertainty within NASA. The Washington Post reports that Griffin does not expect to be retained as administrator. He did, however, memo NASA employees to denounce a recent Orlando Sentinel article which described a red-faced confrontation with the Obama team. The transition team point person is former NASA Administrator Lori Garver. Underlying the other controversies is Obama's early campaign position advocating a 5-year delay in returning to the moon to free up federal funding for education. Despite the background chatter, the Post reports that what will happen after January 20th is still a toss-up. As Scott Pace, the new director of the Space Policy Institute, tells the paper, quote, "Those who talk don't know, and those who know don't talk," unquote. Boeing and Northrop Grumman are preparing for the next round in their bidding war for a U.S. Air Force tanker contract. That's expected to happen in 2009. The contenders are lobbying hard for bidding terms which will favor their designs. The Mobile Press Register reports top execs from both companies tipped their hands at last week's Reuters Aerospace and Defense Summit in Washington, D.C. Boeing is favoring an approach in which the Air Force would define needed capabilities first, then award the contract to the manufacturer which delivered those needs at the lowest cost. Reuters predicts that approach may look compelling in a period of economic challenges and appeal to a new administration which has promised military spending cuts. Northrop Grumman and its European partner, EADS, are pushing for a best value approach, using a common formula to rate both entries on price and capability. That would leave the door open to capabilities beyond minimum needs. At stake is a 179-plane order worth at least $40 billion to the winner, and a chance for EADS to penetrate the U.S. defense market. But it's not clear that the simpler cost basis structure Boeing wants would really be an advantage in the bidding. In the last round, Northrop was awarded the win based on best value, but also came in $3 billion lower than Boeing's bid for the first 68 aircraft. James McAleese, a defense industry consultant, will be surprised if Boeing is underbid again. He commented at the summit, quote, "I don't think Boeing will be caught sleeping a second time," unquote. The NTSB has released an updated factual report on the Northwest Airlines Flight 74 landing accident at Guam International Airport that happened on August 19, 2005. The crew of the 747 experienced trouble extending the landing gear on approach, indicated by a red light on the landing gear indicator and a warning horn. After aborting the initial approach and consulting a cockpit operations manual, the flight crew concluded the landing gear was down and locked. Soon after touchdown, the nose gear collapsed, and the plane skidded to a stop on the runway. The 340 people aboard evacuated using inflatable slides, with only two minor injuries reported. The aircraft, however, was totaled and was scrapped, according to the Guam Pacific Daily News. Investigators found several problems with the landing gear door actuator. Unknown to the crew of Flight 74, the same aircraft had experienced similar problems just 10 days earlier, but the captain of that flight failed to make note of it in the plane's maintenance log. The NTSB's final report on the accident and determination of probable cause still has not yet been released. Still ahead, United Airlines will pay bonuses to get off the bottom of DOT's on-time ratings. United and Continental will not quite merge in 2009. And before you step through that metal detector, please take off your giant shoes. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 23rd. I'm Paul Platt. United Airlines is starting a new incentive program for many of its employees, offering each worker the chance to earn up to an extra $1,200 per year for meeting goals and on-time performance. For each month in which United achieves a number one ranking in on-time performance from the DOT, each eligible employee will get $100. If United finishes in second place or meets a specific internal goal, the bonus is $65. John Tague, Executive VP and Chief Operating Officer, explains, quote, "We are all focused on operating a good airline that is safe, clean, and reliable, and our employees work every day to achieve an on-time operation for our customers. We are pleased to offer a program that will provide further incentive for our employees and to recognize their efforts," unquote. United has a poor recent record for punctuality, and last month got a federal court in Chicago to agree that its pilots had staged an illegal sick-out protest during the summer, causing cancellation of over 300 flights and a loss of more than $8 million in revenue. The Airline Pilots Association has denied a role in coordinating any protest. Analysts will be watching United and Continental in 2009 as the two airlines move forward with a partnership that gets closer to a merger than any partnership so far. In June, the two carriers announced a framework agreement to cooperate extensively, linking their networks and services worldwide to the benefit of customers and creating revenue opportunities and cost savings and other efficiencies. In addition, Continental plans to join United in the Star Alliance, the largest global airline alliance by far, and end its membership in SkyTeam, headed by Delta Northwest. Both sides say the current tight credit market precludes a merger, and obviously asking for $1 billion from the federal government right now would make really bad timing. But the two airlines do want to share frequent flyer programs, reservation systems, and airport lounges. Stopping short of a formal merger would bypass the mess that comes with trying to combine workforces. Consultant Robert Mann says the partnership could still eventually lead to a merger. Quote, if the carriers get comfortable over time, who knows what it might lead to? It's kind of like the dating process, unquote. Airfix, the longtime model kit maker, says current buying trends show German World War II kits have taken the lead over their counterpart Allied Forces kits. German replicas have captured 55% of the market now, reversing a decades-old sales pattern. International Plastic Modelers Society Vice President John Tapsell observes, quote, it does seem slightly odd that the German kits outsell the Allied ones. It certainly doesn't mean that lots of modelers sympathize with the German cause, unquote. The UK Telegraph reports Airfix sales of German kits in 2008 have totaled 1.4 million, compared to 1.1 million Allied kits. And it's not just aircraft. German Panther and Tiger tank models are outselling Allied Sherman and Churchill tank models 3-1. The best-selling ship replica is the German battleship Bismarck, outselling its rival, the HMS Hood, almost 2-1. Tapsell offers two interesting theories for the market shift. Quote, I think it might be something to do with a typical British fascination with the loser, and also an interest in German engineering, unquote. Airfix is cashing in with new kits, including a Messerschmitt 110, a new version of the ME-109, the Junkers JU-88, and a U-boat. And finally, if you want to make a quick pass through airport security, perhaps it pays to be a low-key dresser. Just ask PC Conk the Clown. The UK's Daily Mail reports he was on his way through Britain's Birmingham Airport to entertain kids on a plane chartered by the Variety Club Midlands. He was ready for the one-hour flight, dressed in his trademark baggy bright blue constable's uniform, huge shoes, and a policeman's helmet, complete with flashing blue light on top. He left his fluffy fake pink handcuffs at home, figuring the metal bands that hold them together would be a problem at the airport, and brought some all-plastic cuffs instead. It turns out those violated national security policy, so they were confiscated. And he apparently forgot about the metal band that holds his clown pants up. That set the alarm off, and PC Conk the Clown was ordered to strip to his t-shirt and shorts. PC Conk, a.k.a. 60-year-old Dave Vaughn, has been a children's entertainer for 25 years. Quote, I suppose they have to be really safety conscious nowadays, but I've never had this problem before when I've been to international clown conventions abroad. Unquote. Variety Club Midlands spokesman David Dunkley commented, quote, PC Conk has always been great with the kids, and we were all rather shocked when we found out he had been strip searched in a private room. Thankfully, he was let through in the end, but it's security gone mad, unquote. Well, maybe not totally mad. They gave PC Conk his plastic handcuffs back after the flight. With airport security as obsessed as it's become, how long do you think it'll be till we hear a story about Santa being strip searched at an airport? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott about his new ebook, Learn to Fly. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.